Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Well, you know, I actually had a lot better music selected for today's show. I had a wonderful acoustic version that somebody did of Everything's Gonna Be Alright by Bob Marley. But once again, for my massive monthly fee, Blog Talk Radio has effed me and not loaded it efficiently. See, as I scroll down the list, I see Bob Marley songs still loading. Still loading. It's been 20 minutes later. You know, the theme, my theme of the show was going to be, you know, something to the effect of we shouldn't let worry overcome us. But, I guess I should take my own advice anyway. So, anyhow, I just wanted to see what it was like to do a show without any preparation. I guess you'll sense that in a little while. I guess the theme that unites us tonight is concern, worry. We worry about a lot of things in our lives. We worry about our family. We worry about things. We worry about work. We worry about objects and people. But the worst kind of worry, I think, is the kind when you just realize you don't have any control over the situation. You know, we're watching a lot of this on CNN, and well, I'm trying to watch on some independent internet channels because I try not to watch CNN and Fox and all the rest, but I've kind of had no choice. It's there. They're right in the middle of the action. And let me turn that down so you don't get overshadowed. I've got him on right now, for God's sake. And there's what's his name? There's Anderson Cooper. I actually recognized, as we're looking at the coverage from Tampa, Florida, it's like I recognize a lot of the locations that they're going to because I've been there so many times. And as I'm broadcasting now, there's my sister and there's a bunch of cousins who are basically bunkered down into one house, and they've got the windows boarded up and they've got rain. I'm sure the rain is pounding them, and I believe the power went out about an hour and a half ago, and there's nothing that I can do about it. There's nothing that you can either, but you just, we try to work with this wonderful thing that we call faith. I mean, we went through it 5 years ago in New York. You know, we always joke about Florida as being, you know, the hurricane state. You know, like you go to Florida, you trade the blizzards, you trade the backbreaking snow shoveling for, you know, the occasional tropical storm and hurricane. But of course, you get sunlight year round, so that's kind of cool. But we were the victims of it. I mean, a lot of times in our lives, where, you know, we've been exposed directly to this and worse in our personal lives. But we always have the strength to persevere through it. But again, when you're not in control of the situation, when you can't do anything, you know, and every dollar that you can send down there doesn't mean anything. It's very, yeah, well, at least not in the immediate sense. You know, you can't pay the hurricane to not blow on a house. It's kind of difficult. So, I mean, I guess I've contacted everyone I know down there, and hopefully all will be all right. So let's just see what happens here. I would just tell everyone out there, don't get overcome with watching report after report. You just at some point you have to just kind of let it be as it may and just proceed onward here. So
Anyway, so it's a tough time also because, like, we would normally I would be tempted to sort of turn away from all this a little while and just go to something else. Now, the two something else's are, and I guess this is why I was having so much trouble scheduling the show. Tonight is the second half premiere, and I know some of you are watching it, of Fear the Walking Dead. So I guess a lot of people are watching that. And I think it's, if I'm correct, it's 2 hours. So I think we might be, we may still be in the middle of that. Let's see. Yes, they are still in the middle of that. So I have actually DVR'd it. So I'll get my zombie fix later on. It's Fear the Walking Dead anyway. It's not as good as the main Walking Dead. But no, nonetheless, I've been watching it. So that's one thing. And then the other thing which I have sworn off for this year is football. So I took a nice bike ride today. See, what I'm going to start doing every week now instead of watching football is basically I'm going to do something semi-exciting, you know, bike trail, whatever, and I'm going to give a plug for it on Facebook and maybe just promote it just to encourage people to get the heck out there and not be glued to the TV because, quite frankly, screw the NFL. And that's a whole separate show. That's going to be a whole separate show, why I can't stand the NFL anymore. You know, everybody says, well, you're a Jets fan. Of course you hate the NFL. Yes, well, yeah, I won't lie to you. Being a Jets fan certainly does not help. That turned me away from the NFL a little bit quicker. There are a lot of different facts. Colin Kaepernick, you know, yeah, he's a jerk. You know, that's a given. But there were a lot of other factors that gradually and definitively steered me away from the NFL. So I think we'll really talk about that like on a whole other show. Maybe our good friend Brad Schilling might join us for that one because he still watches football, I think. So anyhow, so it was a beautiful Sunday for all of us up here anyway. So I had a wonderful bike ride. I did 11.5, well, maybe 12 miles, actually. Me and my friend, we did Rockland Lake State Park. That's up in Rockland County. So 3 days in a row, I traversed the new Tappan Zee Bridge to do something on that side of the river. But this time it was worthwhile. I burned some calories and had a very small meal after. So that was good. And I wish everyone would just do that on Sunday. Just give up on the whole football thing. Don't do it. So anyway, getting back, I guess, not taking my own advice and getting back to the whole hurricane thing. I've been to Florida, of course, a number of times. I'm sure like many of you, I have friends in Miami. I have relatives in Orlando, I guess some other friends in Daytona, but the closest relatives that I have and my sister are all in Tampa. So we were kind of joking before, you know, I've been sort of hedging on that whole idea of buying property down there. And actually, I sort of know someone who just came back up here. She moved back to New York for various reasons. And I was kind of jostling her about it, like, oh, for God's sake, why the hell are you moving back to New York? But perhaps, you know, from a limited perspective, it turned out pretty good for her in this case. But another friend of mine was jokingly saying earlier that there might be a lot of cheap property down there in about a month or two. So I wouldn't deny it. I'm not ruling it out. I'm certainly considering it for one day. But another part of this, as I'm looking at the map and the sort of the red zone, I guess that that panhandle area in Florida could also end up getting a little hit. I mean, it is going up the West Coast, and who knows which way it will turn afterward. But that portion of the panhandle, I guess, Panama City, as in Panama City, U.S., not Panama City of the great country of Panama, but Destin, etc., they could get hit as well. And that's an area that I'm actually interested in visiting in March or thereabouts. I'd like to see what that's all about. There's actually an interesting little area in this will make you laugh, but there's a little portion of Alabama. I guess all you Northern Floridians know this, but there's a little piece of Alabama that's actually on the coast. If you look at the map, you have the panhandle of Florida, and then when you move a little west from there, you have the tippity tip of the I don't know what you would call it, the handle, I guess, of Alabama. And that's, there's a city there known as Orange Beach. And actually, a few people have been telling me that that's becoming more and more of a popular retirement or, you know, a destination sort of in later years for a lot of people. So might be doing a little exploratory trip there. And the benefits of that, I guess, are if you're there, you drive 2 hours in one direction, the Florida direction, and you get Pensacola and Destin, which is supposed to be beautiful. I've yet to see that. And then if you drive a couple of hours in the other direction, I guess an hour and a half, maybe two, you get to Biloxi, Mississippi, which is a very popular tourist destination. They have sort of like a riverboat. Well, I don't know. They have a bunch of casinos there, and they get a lot of entertainers. It's like a mini Vegas, if you will. And so that's reachable from there. I guess Mobile, Alabama, I don't know if that's a worthwhile destination, but about 3 hours, if you drive about 3 hours west, you can get to New Orleans. So it's kind of a strategically located town. Not too bad. So we're kicking this off now, and we appear to have somewhere from the nether regions of New York City a guest. And our guest is on the air. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
I thought it was going to be a storm today.
Oh, you mean for us or them?
No, for you.
Oh, okay. Well, the storm is in my heart. The weather is nice enough for us, but the storm of worry.
What's going on over there? Because I really haven't been listening to the news or anything, but a busy day. So what's going on?
Okay, so right now the storm is actually approaching Tampa. It's actually there, and they're starting to get violent winds and torrential rains. And on a more personal note, my cousins and my sister have lost power.
Okay.
So,
didn't it go to Category 2?
It is a Category 2, but which is good. That's a good thing. But, you know, they said it could still do damage. Yeah. So,
yeah, of course.
I mean, it could still damage. It may not tear off your roof, but it could damage your roof. So, there's actually, it's funny. I'm looking at CNN. I recognize the places that the two reporters are standing.
I know my brothers, they were mandated to evacuate. They live on Brickell on the 37th floor in the condominium. And they were told they had to leave. And they couldn't find no gas or nothing. It was really bad ordeal for them to get out. And they ended up in Florida, out of all places.
Oh, that's where Brickell. Where is
Brickell? Brickell.
Brickell.
Brickell is, that's how I pronounce it, Brickell. You know, my accent.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's not far. It's in Miami-Dade. It's not far at all from South Beach. So they ended up in Fort Lauderdale with another brother of mine. They lost power for almost 6 hours, but they're back on.
Yeah.
I think it's the generator or something, but I haven't heard from them since 7 o'clock tonight. So, but I know they marked themselves safe, and it was really bad. But I haven't really known what else is going on, so that's why I tuned in before I go to bed, so you could tell me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well. Okay. See, I'm on my own. I'm VNN. Oh, awesome.
That's right.
Well. The bad part I'm seeing is for Tampa, the wind speed is now 105 miles an hour. And I know it's better than 125, but it's still pretty high.
God. It's very high.
Yeah, you don't try to challenge that. That's just like, just imagine the fastest car you could see like speeding on the highway and like the breeze coming by you, but the breeze never stops. That's what it's like. Mm. Oh God. Oh, awful.
So is it true that it's gonna go to Georgia on Monday? Is it still that way, or did it change?
Yeah, they still have it going towards the Atlanta area, but I think it's supposed to die out somewhat as it gets over the land. It can't survive over land, you know? So they're going to feel it, but, you know, they may not get the full brunt of it. So.
And what's going on with Jose? Do you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting, because they were showing it actually out in the Caribbean. I think it was, I forget, near one of those Leeward Islands, but they haven't really been reporting on that. So I'm hoping it just dies out. I'm trying to pull it up now on one of the internet sites here. And I have to tell you, I was planning a couple of trips to the Caribbean, and you know, now I have to kind of wait and see what happens here. But
you know, and Dominican Republic, it really wasn't as bad, because I have people where it wasn't. And I mean, it wasn't that bad. It was bad, but it wasn't like we thought it was going to be something like Harvey did in Texas.
Right.
That's what people was really expecting in DR, but it didn't. It didn't happen, thank God.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. But Barbuda was, oh my gosh. You saw that?
Oh, that was horrible. That's the whole island.
Oh my God.
Wipeout.
Yes, 95%. Yes. The person there said 95% of the people there are now homeless.
I know. It's insane. I mean, that's just, I can't imagine that. I mean, I really didn't. Yeah. Now, the other thing is, the place that I was going to go to on Columbus Day was, and I even asked one of my friends, Vivian, about it. And I said, you know, I was asking her for travel advice to Puerto Rico. This was kind of when the hurricane was just kind of a thought. And she said, if that hurricane hits, she said, don't even bother coming here until like January or February at least.
But
it looks like
it's still high. It's in Dominican Republic. I don't know in Puerto Rico, but February, January are the highest, the most, you know, very expensive, because if they're high, tourist is really high those months.
Oh, yeah.
In Dominican Republic, because it's winter here.
Yeah. Yeah, I it's and they look like, I mean, it looked like the little bit I saw of the DR, it looked like they were dealing with it pretty well. You know, they seem to have a fairly decent, you know, backbone there to work with that sort of thing. But the little islands, you know, it's not like they have too many resources to begin with. So
they're really doing it was in DR, so it was Barbuda really was like, wow. I was like, I actually, when I was looking at the video, I got teary-eyed, because I can only imagine. I would be scared.
Yeah.
To see your roof, everything in Texas, it's like, it's devastating.
Yeah.
It really is. Mother Nature.
Oh, it's frightening. People just, I mean, in New York, you know, like, we know about the snow. I mean, you know, we get blizzards, but you know, it's kind of easy. Well, not easy, but you shovel it, you know, you deal with a little wind, and God willing, it's gone in a week or so. There, the wind is just much worse, and you can't deal with the flooding. that's what really hurts, you know, the surge in flooding. If you're in a floodplain, there's nothing you can do about it.
Everything is destroyed, your memories, everything is gone. Everything, it's like starting from zero.
Right.
Anyway, darling.
Yeah. I didn't bother you. Oh, it's okay. I didn't even introduce you properly. Would you like to introduce yourself, or?
No, just Giselle.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, that's good. That's Giselle.
But anyway, darling, I hope to see you Tuesday if you get a chance, even if it's for a bit.
Absolutely. I'm going to be there for a little while, and then we'll certainly be in touch through the whole winter. We got a fun winter ahead with, you know, God knows what's going on in the holiday season. The holidays again. Can you just not wait for the holidays?
I really can't believe it. Oh my God. It's like it's just coming around the corner. When I was in the hospital yesterday, I was going for the turkeys. I can't believe I'm already doing my things for turkey and preparing the midnight run and preparing everything. I'm like, wow, this summer went really quick.
It went too quickly.
And it wasn't that bad.
No, it was good. It was decent, but it went quick. You're right. You know, well, my friends agree. God. You know, it's like I still remember Memorial Day so vividly. You know,
yes, I'm like, my birthday was just, and I'm like, wow, it's already winter.
That's right. Your birthday was the end of July. That's like still, I still have all those pictures in my camera. It's like I didn't even load them yet. I'm like, oh my God, that was all, and it's gone already.
And the winter wasn't too hot.
Yeah, no,
it really wasn't too hot. We only had a couple of days. It was a really decent winter. I mean, summer. And it's gone. But hey, listen, it is what it is. Times are flying, all these things going on. It's just too much. We got to live day by day, you know?
That's it.
And just
That's
enjoy
it.
The moments that we have. That's it.
We
do.
They're always good moments. They're always good moments, so.
That's
absolutely.
It. All right, darling. You have a good night.
All right, my dear. All right, Giselle. Be well. Best to everyone
you
for
too.
Me, and I'll see you Tuesday. Bye. And we have another.
Bye-bye.
All right. And now we're going to reach out to the fine people of Exchange. Can't give away numbers. It's from Yonkers, and I think I know who it is. Hello.
Hey, Anthony. How are you?
Hello, Bradster. Bradster,
I missed the first part of your show, but talk about Hurricane Irma, and I heard a little bit of Giselle, your last caller, talking about the Dominican Republic a little bit, but that's quite a monster storm.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying. It's it might have been downgraded, but it's still severe. So. You know, as protected as I know everybody is down there, I still worry. But I'm confident in their abilities to protect themselves.
Yeah, hopefully everybody will be okay. And of course, it had, I guess, the largest evacuation in Florida history, they were talking.
Yep.
And also, this was the largest hurricane that they've had. And also Tampa, the first time in about 100 years that they've had a direct hit. So
exactly.
This is quite a storm. In fact, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their game is postponed this weekend. And strangely enough, they were supposed to play at Miami at the Dolphins. So in either case, it didn't matter if the game was at Tampa or Miami, it would have been postponed. So
that's right.
So I don't know if both of them had bye weeks in November in the same week.
I think they did actually, and that worked
that
out coincidental.
That was
yeah,
a lucky
win
for both teams. So now what you're going to have is both teams are going to be playing 16 weeks in a row, and that hasn't happened since 2001. No team has done that since 2001. So, wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, well, even though I'm boycotting this year, I wish them well in their marathon-like endeavors, but
yeah.
So I guess they said if it went like down the middle of the state, like if it stayed on its original path and ended up in the middle of the state, it would have been even worse because like both Orlando would have taken the hit and you know both coasts would have been affected, but. Now it seems like one coast is going to take the hit at the, to kind of save the other sort of.
But. Yeah. Well, Miami isn't out. They're not exactly out of the woods. They've had some severe weather in Miami Beach and some other places, yep. Lauderdale. They had a tornado in Lauderdale today.
I heard about that. Yeah. I didn't know tornadoes could survive, like, within hurricanes. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I never heard of one during a hurricane, but
yeah,
apparently Florida gets a lot of tornadoes, even though most of them are not very big. They're not like the big ones you see in Kansas or Oklahoma, but apparently they get probably more per square mile than any other state, believe it or not, but they don't get the very big ones. They get the really tiny ones.
Hmm. That's interesting. So that would be, I mean, normally, yeah, I mean, we normally, now you're a Midwest guy, so that would be like the tornadoes would be more associated with your part of the country.
Right. Whereas, Indiana, where I grew up, had a lot of tornadoes per square mile. They're always in the top 10 of the country, but Florida does get a lot.
Right. I mean, I sad to say, I never witnessed one in person, although I know smaller tornadoes have hit here in the New York City area.
That's true.
Not really like a major concern, but you know, again, the Northeast is a creature of snowstorms. Although we were victimized by a badass hurricane 5 years ago, so
mm-hmm.
that was pretty vicious.
And another one 6 years ago, actually. So we had Irene and Sandy.
That's true, right? We had two. Yeah, I forgot. That's right. 2 years in a row. So, and Hurricane Sandy was particularly vicious. My aunt was basically, she lived in Peter Cooper Village in New York City, which is right next to the FDR Drive. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So basically, I didn't see some of the video till later, but you could still see it on YouTube. 23rd Street became an extension of the Hudson, of the East River, basically.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, it was vicious. And all the generators in her building basically flooded, even though they had elevated them years before. And we couldn't get in touch with her for a couple of days. So I think about 3 or 4 days later, with the power still out down there, I took a Metro North train into Grand Central, and I walked all the way down to where she lives. And it turned out, couldn't get in touch, so I had to walk up 14 flights in her building to go upstairs to make sure she was okay.
Okay, and I guess she was okay.
She was, thankfully. And actually, unbeknownst to me, the security guards had been checking up on people and bringing them food, but I had to make sure for myself, so I did that.
Well, that was, I think you did the right thing, and I'm glad to hear she was okay.
But that's how these things affect us personally. But
right.
Yeah. It's kind of.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I mean, it's kind of odd seeing like the reporters, at least on CNN. Like, I'm actually recognizing some of the places that they're at now in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to watch that.
And in this case, it's not fake news.
this I don't feel too guilty tuning in for, because, I mean, it's storm coverage, you know. I can't.
Right. Yeah.
And I turned the sound down, so I'm just like looking at the graphics and all.
yeah. Well, I know that here in Yonkers, Hurricane Sandy,
right.
I think I was pretty fortunate, at least where I live, and that the power may have gone out for 30 seconds, maybe a couple of times, and that was it. I know people in Jersey that were without power for 4 days during Sandy. I know I went jogging I think a day after the hurricane. I was jogging through Bronxville, which is nearby, for those mm-hmm. in the audience who are not in the New York area. And some places the power was out. We're talking like a couple of days after the hurricane. And I was just fortunate, really very fortunate where I live, that really no issues with the power to speak of.
Right. That is a good, yeah. That's always a good thing. But I mean, we've had our share of nor'easters here in New York too. So, I mean, we're kind of familiar, especially when you're here, for those who don't know, when you're here in Westchester County, you're not any stranger to flooding because we have the Bronx River, which tends to overtop its bounds very frequently.
Well, the Sawmill River Parkway often gets flooded in a heavy rainstorm. That's pretty much true throughout the length of the parkway.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. You know, we basically have a county that has poor soil, and you know, it seems that everything within it is in the floodplain. So,
yeah.
So, such well, as,
the Hurricane Irene, I think, may have had more actual water, but Hurricane Sandy had the wind.
Right.
And that may have helped. That may have contributed to the, some of the problems, the flooding problems in Lower Manhattan.
Right.
Hurricane Irene, I remember the Bronx River Parkway, and I live real close. I'm walking distance away, and I remember that was flooded. I mean, you couldn't get around. You couldn't drive around. Right. Hurricane Sandy, I don't recall that the Bronx River Parkway was ever flooded. Or if it was, it wasn't for a very long time. But I do remember seeing a utility pole toppling, falling on the ground, and it hit somebody's car that was parked there. Ooh. And I was taking video. I was taking video of the wind. I had just stopped the camera, and this thing happened just after I stopped the camera. And I, by the time it happened, it was too late. I couldn't turn the video on again. So if I had waited about maybe 15 or 20 seconds to stop the camera, I would have gotten that on videotape.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that that's a scene that's probably repeating itself over and over right now down in Florida, but.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I just hope that everybody down there is safe. And I know some people down there and a couple of Facebook friends. I'll check with them. Check their Facebook page a little bit later and make sure they're okay.
Yeah, I've been doing that fairly regularly. And a lot of, bunch of classmates, some cousins, some other friends, and of course my sister. So, you know, that's what the focus is on. I will actually be in Florida. It's funny. I just mentioned earlier that I'm kind of hedging on taking a trip to Puerto Rico because for obvious reasons, but I was actually planned. I am already booked for Florida Thanksgiving week.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to be both in Miami and Tampa. My plan was originally my friend's daughter's wedding in Boca Raton. And that was the weekend before. And I would sort of gradually drive up and then be in Tampa for Thanksgiving weekend. And then I sort of was hedging with the idea of maybe I could, like, since nothing's going on from Monday to Thursday of Thanksgiving week, why not take a little quick flight to the Bahamas?
Okay.
So, yeah, just fly out Monday to Thursday should be a simple trip, real cheap. Fly out Monday out of Fort Lauderdale, go to the Bahamas for a couple of nights, and then fly back to Tampa so that I could sort of get that in. Now I'm kind of waiting to see what the story is. I'm hearing that it didn't really hit the Bahamas too hard from different people, but I just want to be sure before I go ahead and book that portion of it.
Yeah, and I don't remember the path that the hurricane took. I know it was right on the northern edge of Cuba. So,
right.
I don't know. Well, it's a pretty big hurricane. I think the Bahamas got something.
I heard reports. Yeah. I mean, it's funny, I'm pulling up the map now, but Bahamas is more towards the Miami side. It's on the east.
That's true.
The bulk of the island. So you would think maybe they got away a little bit easier, but Cuba, on the other hand, got hit pretty hard. So I'm kind of giving it, Cuba is below the Bahamas. It's like at least about 100 or more miles below, but I'm giving it a little time just to see before I commit to anything there.
Right, and as big as that storm was, I think the Bahamas got something, but the eye was generally along the north shore of Cuba before
right.
it took a turn to the north, and I think it was still a Category 4 when it hit the Florida Keys earlier today.
That
and
is correct.
It's been downgraded to a 3 by the time it hit Marco Island and Naples, and I guess it's gone through Tampa by now. I haven't really followed it today, but...
Right now, the storm center is 59 miles southeast of Tampa. So that
means...
Southeast
of Tampa, okay.
Right. So, well, I mean, if you know how Florida is shaped, that's basically kind of running coastally. So
okay.
I know it hit Naples earlier. Now it's getting ready to hit, you know, right into the city. And, I mean, you know, basically, if you know how the Tampa area is laid out, Tampa is sort of on the mainland, and then
exactly.
you have, right, and you have a little, you have the bay, and then
right.
on the other side of the bay, you have St. Pete, Clearwater, et cetera. So
right.
those, yeah, so they said it's going to hit the city a little bit more, but nonetheless, all those beach cities are still very vulnerable because they're just kind of like sitting ducks. You can have water coming from both sides, and that
yeah
that can hurt.
And, well, storm surge, some weatherman very clearly defined what storm surge was. I never really understood the term 100% until yesterday. Storm surge
okay.
is when the normal elevation of the water rises. We're not including wave heights, just the normal elevation will
right.
rise about, so if there's a 10-foot storm surge, it's 10, the water, the level of the ocean is 10 at that point is 10 feet higher than normal if it's a 10-foot storm surge, and of course the waves
right.
will add, you know, quite a few more feet to that.
Exactly. And that I guess there was some kind of an analysis on how do, you know, it's kind of macabre, but how people die in these storms, and I think it said about 40 some odd percent of these of casualties come from the storm surge, you know, people underestimating how high the water will be under normal conditions in these storms, and then getting caught, you know, driving your car right into it or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then another percentage, maybe 20 or 30, was like from drowning under other conditions, and only about 3 to 5%, I think it said, was due to wind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, because basically most people, you know, are smart enough to protect themselves from that.
Right.
You know, maybe there's some people that have to be outdoors, first responders and all, but most people where they get sort of caught or off guard is the whole idea of the storm surge, like, you know, not even conceiving that the water can be that high in a given area.
Yeah, floods, anytime you get flooding, even if it's just a heavy rainstorm, that's not a hurricane. A lot of people get caught in floods, and sometimes it has fatal consequences, unfortunately. And,
yeah.
You know, rushing water especially is, that packs a powerful punch. There's a lot of force there, and, you know, if you're more than knee-deep in water, you're going to have a hard time getting through some running water, depending on how fast it's going.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, and some people think like, you know, they're used to seeing like, all right, well, I can hydroplane a little with my car and get through it. And like, then by the time they're about halfway through, it's like, oh my God, I'm, and, you know, and then the car is submerged. I don't want to laugh here.
Right.
It's very serious, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of it happens in cars as well. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, some people think they can get by with driving through, and it's just too much for the car to handle.
Yeah, yeah. So what's happened is, I guess, I'm going to check in with some of the Miami friends. They're kind of just dealing with the after effects. I mean, there's still some wind and rain. Actually, I'm looking at the news now. I see that the storm is kind of, it appears like it's a little bit inland. It's like east of Sarasota now. Sarasota is south of Tampa, and it's going to
okay.
be headed up to Tampa. But I guess from my perspective, what's happening is a lot of you know, my sister and other cousins have actually all gone to one house. They've all boarded up their individual houses, which is the right thing to do. And they went to one of the cousins' houses who's basically above sea level. He's like 30 or more feet above sea level. So,
okay.
Yeah, so he's like a relatively safer place to be, but they still, even there, they lost power.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my sister and one of her other cousins basically live in areas that are very prone to flooding. My sister is near a lake, and the other cousin is very close to the Gulf, I guess. Not the Gulf. Actually, I stand corrected, the ocean, really. She's not that far from the ocean, so that's... Yes, it would be the Gulf, not the ocean. It would be the Gulf, right. So that's definitely... Well, again, we'll see what happens. Gotta just kind of wait it out and pray for the best.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking that, you know, it'll still be a hurricane, Category 1 when it gets to Georgia. That's what they were talking.
Right.
The latest, they think it may be downgraded to a tropical storm when it gets there. But they have tropical storm watches out for Tennessee.
South Central part
of Tennessee. Yeah. All of Georgia is under... I just want to make sure I saw this correctly. I'm going to rewind here. It's Hurricane Irma is now a Category 2 hurricane, and it's just south of Tampa.
Yep, there
so,
it is. Yeah.
Tropical storm warning.
Right.
Basically, most of Georgia, they have a hurricane warning for southern Georgia and a tropical storm warning for pretty much the rest, almost all the rest of the state.
Wow.
And then in eastern part of Alabama and the part of the Florida Panhandle below Alabama, they have a tropical storm warning. And they have a tropical storm watch for extreme northeastern Alabama, as well as a little portion of south central Tennessee, and then most of northern Georgia, the extreme northern part of Georgia, well north of Atlanta. Atlanta is under a tropical storm warning as we speak.
And they
never get things like of that magnitude. They might get leftover rain or something from a hurricane, but not an actual tropical storm.
It is pretty bizarre.
Yeah. And
I mean, you expect it maybe a little. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say it looks like this thing's going to go right over my home state of Indiana. It won't be a tropical storm at that point. It'll just be rain, remnants of Irma, but Indiana will be affected a little bit just by the rain. I don't even know how much rain that'll be, but yeah, it's going to go over Kentucky, Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, and I don't know where it'll end up. Maybe out here in New York.
Well, we're supposed to get the remnants of it next weekend. We're going to get some rain, but again, you know, not tropical force winds or anything. So, you know, it's kind of funny. I know an Irma too, and she's probably not very happy about all this. So.
Oh yeah.
Same spelling and all.
I know someone who has a daughter named Katrina. She was born maybe 2 years before Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, jeez.
yeah.
Then, of course, you had Katrina and the waves. Remember them?
I remember them. Yeah. Well, I guess they weren't playing too many of their songs during Hurricane Katrina, I don't think.
Did you hear? I think it was in an Atlanta Braves game, too. You know, they have their standard bumper music, and somebody got upset when they played. And the Marlins were playing them, mind you, the Miami Marlins, and they played Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was this just after a hurricane occurred, or?
I think it was just before. I think it was Saturday, the day before it got there. But I read in Yahoo Sports, Braves are sorry for playing Rock You Like a Hurricane during bowl game. I'm like, oh, for God.
Well, Well, they could have replaced it with Everyone Knows It's Windy, that song from the 60s.
She's like the wind.
Yeah, there you go.
I was trying to think of what bumper music to play. I had some good, I had all sorts of things to play as bumper music, but of course the one thing that I did pick is still loading here, is it? Let me see. Let's see. It seems to still be, oh no, it finally loaded a half an hour later, so, or 45 minutes later. So
it must be a long song.
No, it's a little Bob Marley tune. I'll play it at the end, I guess. Actually, it'd probably be more appropriate at the end. So we're going to just run a little while longer. Wanted to just do an hour, just a little free form here. Isn't it great just sitting here, just BSing and no particular agenda, no guest, except you, of course.
And Giselle from earlier.
Yes. And she, by the way, I got to give her a plug. She runs it's going to be over next week, but she did a very nice event that she puts together on City Island. I mean, I'm sure she'll be doing it again once the good weather comes, but again in April. It's called Sticks and Drinks, and it's at, at least this past year, it was at Don Coquí on City Island, and it's basically, she does a cigar night and drinks with a very nice jazz band. In the outdoor portion of Don Coquí, City Island.
Okay.
So if anyone has any time Tuesday, I would welcome them to, even though it's the final week of the event, you could certainly meet some people and you can meet Giselle. And if you're a cigar smoker, you can have one of those as well.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it'll be a good event. I didn't catch when that was going to be.
Oh, it's going to be Tuesday night from 6 to 11, if I am correct, but I'm sure she will write me. But if that's not correct, but I believe it is 6 to 11, and that's Don Coquí on City Island.
Okay.
Yeah. So always a nice thing.
Nice little plug for her event.
Yeah, she deserves it. Very hard worker. So we were just commenting also on the rapidness by which the summer has bypassed us.
I heard some of that conversation, and I agree 100% that this summer went by really quick. I know we're reaching to a national audience, so I won't go into things too much, but I believe I had Lyme disease this summer. I had bad headaches for about a week and a half and had a tick bite that swelled up, but I got medication, and that went away, but then I started getting headaches, which nobody could figure out what it was, so they figured it was probably Lyme disease. Maybe it was a mild case of it, I don't know, but I know I had that for a week and a half, so partially because of that reason, the summer seemed pretty short because I was kind of on the disabled list here for about 9 or 10 days.
Yeah. That's scary. Well, it's funny. Now that's another thing that we Northeasters have to worry about, because Lyme disease is primarily a creature of, you know, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts type of thing. Pennsylvania.
But you know what? Wisconsin, they're getting some cases in Wisconsin too. A substantial amount of, so I think Lyme disease is kind of all over the country now. Although the question is, where, you know, people from, say, California, you know, did they visit the Northeast and get it, and then by the time they got back to California, they started showing symptoms? I don't know the exact answers there, but but I know that Wisconsin has a not as high as they have in, say, Connecticut or Long Island or various places in the Northeast, but they do have a fairly substantial percentage of Lyme disease cases out there.
Oh, okay. That is interesting because, you know, quite frankly, they always said there's always been dispute as to how this all started. You know, everything from, you know, mutated strain that was in a deer, perhaps, to, you know, a disease from Plum Island escaping. Plum Island, for those who don't know, is a is off the coast of Long Island. There's like a disease research facility there. So there's some people have speculated that it may have started there, but it seems for a number of years just to have been concentrated here. But yeah. But I'm glad you recovered, and I hope you stay recovered. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been better since mid-July, and hopefully I'll stay that way.
Good, good. So the other disappointments of the summer included the performance of the Mets, and well, you know, baseball is fleeting. So, and
what are they, 16 games below 500 now?
Something. I barely watched. Yeah.
I mean, I still follow. I'm a Cubs fan, and they're doing a lot better. I'm happy about that. They were 2 games below 100 at the All-Star break, and then they've won about 2/3 of their games since the All-Star break. So, they have lost 2 in a row, and I don't know if they won today or not. I haven't checked yet, but I know they lost at home to Milwaukee Friday and Saturday. So hopefully, as a Cubs fan, hopefully they can hang in there and win that division and go a long way.
Yeah, well, now St. Louis and Milwaukee, both 2 games out. And but the Cubs are still in first. I mean, it's just really here. You want to just see something bizarre. This is how crazy things are. Now, Arizona, I guess they had like, what was it, a 14-game winning streak?
Yeah, and Cleveland had one as well, or as close to
that. Exactly. So Arizona now, they've won 15 of their last 16. The Dodgers have lost 10 in a row.
Yes.
But the Dodgers are still 9 games ahead of Arizona.
Yeah. Well, they were about 23 games ahead about maybe 3 weeks ago. So Arizona shipped into that lead a little bit, but the Dodgers, they were just running away with the division. And Arizona and Colorado, I think, had the second, third best record in the National League. At least that,
and they still
that
do.
Was true. Do they still?
Yeah,
okay?
Well, Colorado's...
The Nationals have a pretty good record, though. And Colorado's stumbling a little bit, I thought.
Well, they're picking up a little bit again, but that's pretty much the wild card. It's the National League seems to have been set since, you know, June.
Yeah.
There was pretty much no question. The American League, you know, is still a little bit of interplay in the East of all places, but the Central and the West are pretty much fixed. So, and just the wild card. But
so
I really have lost.
So you're looking at 3 teams in the AL East and 3 teams in the NL West making the playoffs.
Very much. It seems that way. But well, actually, no, not necessarily 3 teams in the Yankees. And well, you know, you have teams competing for that wild card in the American League,
the
but
Twins,
the National League, Twins, the who else? Texas, the Angels. Maybe to a lesser degree, the Royals and the Orioles, but, you know, it's probably going to be like Yankees versus somebody. So.
Yeah, I think you had at one time, you had 8 out of 14 teams in the National League were below 500.
Yeah, and I think it's about the same.
I think it may. Well, you know, Milwaukee and St. Louis have now, well, the Cubs were under 500.
Well, just the only 4, St. Louis and Milwaukee and Arizona, Colorado, those are the only non-division leaders that are over 500.
Okay, you're correct. Yeah. So now we're looking at 7 teams instead of 8.
I mean, this has been the year from hunger for baseball. I mean, it's feast or famine. So.
Right.
And football. Like I said, that's going to be a whole separate show. Why I don't watch football anymore. That's a whole separate show. Won't even begin to get into that there. And for the record, it's not just Kaepernick or anything like that. It's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So,
I guess the Jets Bears Super Bowl is, we're going to have to wait a few years for that.
please.
Both teams lost today.
Well, yeah, I know. And here's one thing though. I'm going to tell everyone for the record, for in the interest of disclosure, I have decided to stay in my elimination pool. What we call the suicide pool or the elimination pool.
I remember you're in that. Yeah. Uh huh.
And I am already 2 for 2. I have 2 entries, and I'm already good. I've got past week 1 for both of them. Why? Because the people who don't pay attention or who don't do any work or make no effort always win those things. Now I want in on that.
All right.
Yeah. So, well, in all fairness, I won a couple of years ago. I was a co-winner of one of them, but I want to try this theory now.
Well, if there's any silver lining from your point of view in football, since you are a Jets fan and you're not a Patriots fan,
right?
The Patriots, up until today, were in last place in the AFC East.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills leading the pack.
And okay, yeah, I guess the Bills are leading it, and Miami's in second place, obviously, since they had a bye week.
Right.
So the Jets and Pats are tied for last, but for 3 days. The Patriots had the worst record in football.
Right. Yeah. Bizarre.
Kansas City. Wow. I saw some of that game on Thursday night, and, you know, Patriots led 17-7. You can't have expected it. You know, they're at home. You know, they have Brady, and they have everybody there. And next thing you know, Kansas City takes the lead, then New England takes the lead, and at that point, it was late, and I turned off the TV, and then I saw that Kansas City scored, I guess it was a 3 unanswered touchdowns to win the game.
Yeah, quite amazing.
I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but it was a 15-point win, and I think a lot of people in your suicide pool probably got eliminated with that game.
As a matter of fact, yes, there was a substantial number of people who got, well, of course we do a buyback option. So a bunch of people will either be buying back in and thus contributing more to the final pool or dropping out. So whatever, but so be it. But, I'm continuing here. Now it's, storms 48 miles southeast of Tampa. So I'd say by the time I fall asleep tonight, it should be just about getting dead center, but I'm probably going to end up staying up late watching some of this. So be it. But I'll probably just kind of...
I would say every cable news station, all they have is Hurricane Irma. I was watching Fox News, now I'm watching CNN. And Hurricane Irma Category 2, Pensacola, Florida. Oh, they're talking. Oh, this is the wind speed. So, which Pensacola?
Right. Well, they're gonna. Yeah, they go through different cities. So,
so they're going through different cities. And it's they're not talking about where it is. Let's see what MSNBC has. I'm going to MSNBC, and okay, so now they're talking. The eye of the hurricane or the tropical storm will go south of Atlanta into northeastern Mississippi, and probably get to Evansville, Indiana, late Wednesday night.
Ah, okay.
25-mile-an-hour winds, though, so it's not a tropical storm at that point, but
yeah, it's just terrible. Well, like I said, I was honestly hoping all along that this thing would blow out to the Gulf, but it looks like, it's headed where it's headed. So I will know by morning. I'll have the phone next to my bed. I'll know what's happening. And, just I trust in my cousin's ability to defend themselves against wind and storms. I mean, it must be strange though. Like, I don't think I've ever been in a situation like they've got all the windows boarded up. So,
okay.
You know, I guess there's probably, maybe they've given themselves one place where they could look out and see, but you know, basically it's just kind of, you're in a very dark house with candles now and, you know, limited resources. So
there's a guy on Marco Island who decided not to evacuate. He says his house is can withstand, is constructed well beyond specs to withstand the hurricane. And I'm just curious to see how he does. I looked at Google Earth, Google Maps on Marco Island, and I think it might be a man-made island with a bunch of fill and ports and houses. And
I was
more than 5 feet above sea level. So I hope his house is waterproof for his sake, because he's going to have a lot of water in his house.
Yeah.
Deal with it if he's not there.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I was reading up on different, you know, a lot of people, you know, even if they could evacuate, you're dealing with enormous amounts of traffic. And, you know, you're basically leaving your home at the whims of whoever is around it. So, you know, I mean, we've seen looters, we've seen all sorts of things. So, it's not as easy a decision as a lot of people, you know, might speculate. So, you know, Florida, as they said, Florida is like two main roads in and out, you know, out of the state. I mean, you know, it's either 95 or 75. Yeah. So,
right. And Florida's turnpike is in there as well, but
But even that doesn't go, I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know if that traverses the whole length of the state. Like if you were using it, I don't know if you can get out of the state with it.
Yeah. I see. It probably connects with 75, I imagine, because 75 goes on the West Coast, 95 on the East Coast. Let's see here. Florida's Turnpike. I don't even see it on the map here. That's odd.
You know, that Alligator Alley Road must be like, I can only imagine that's probably completely flooded, because that's just like not that far above sea level. Yeah, actually, another one of the spouse of one of the cousins down there actually drove with her kids all the way back to her family in Arkansas, and what normally would have been a 14 hours, 24 hours. They basically drove a full day.
They drove a full day. Okay, so it took them 24 hours instead of 14.
Yeah. To get from Tampa to whatever town in Arkansas. So, I would find that very difficult.
I saw the traffic and it looked like it was really difficult to get out of there.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I can't really see where the turnpike is, but I don't think. I think.
It starts on I-75 northwest of Orlando.
Right.
And it goes through pretty much through Orlando and Kissimmee, St. Cloud. And then it goes to Port St. Lucie and it ends, it may go further than. Yeah, it goes all the way down, parallels 95 until you get pretty close to Miami.
Okay, yeah, I see it. Yeah. So. Yeah, but so it takes you only just a certain distance and then not really out of the state.
Yeah, it takes you part way, yeah. It's between Orlando and Ocala is where I am. I-75.
Yeah, I mean, you could escape westward with Interstate 10, you know, but even then, that's the only road through the panhandle, the only main road through the panhandle.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So,
and to get to
tough.
Arkansas, that's probably how that family... Probably the road they took is 10, or maybe they take 75 north to I guess 22 to I-40.
Right.
Or I-20 rather to I-22 to I-40, depending on what part of Arkansas. But some crazy traffic, definitely evacuating. That's worse than the LAE at rush hour.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 3 million people out of power. That's like half of New York City. Jeez.
Yeah. 18 million people think we're supposed to evacuate.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that number's going to go up once you get the full story from Naples and from Tampa. I'm sure that number's going to go up more.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the panhandle as well.
And it looks like the eye of the hurricane is not going along the coast near Tampa. It's going to go east of Tampa, is what it appears.
Ah.
And it may go between Tampa and Orlando.
Okay, which could screw that city a little bit more.
Yeah, and it might go right through Ocala and Gainesville.
Right.
That's what it's looking like, according to the cable news.
Yeah.
And then after that, it makes more of a westward turn, goes south of Atlanta and through Alabama and Mississippi. So, this is quite a storm. They say it was the biggest storm to ever hit. I think the biggest storm ever to hit Florida, or the biggest storm ever in the Atlantic.
Yeah, it seems quite unprecedented, and the fact that it's like the first dead-on hit in Tampa in 96 years.
Right.
You know, it's mind-boggling. So.
I know, because they have managed to stay away from hurricanes.
Yeah, they generally hit. Yeah, they hit below.
They generally hit Miami or the East Coast, typically.
Right. Well, I'm just hoping for the best. I'm going to probably call this short here, and I'll just hope for the best for everyone over there, and hopefully by morning everything's good. I know the power won't be back, but as long as everyone's intact, that's all that counts for me. Yeah, windows and doors can be replaced. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, lives cannot. So hopefully everybody I know is down there is safe as well, and. We hope things get to normal pretty soon, and we certainly wish them well and best of luck in dealing with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, but this is good. It's nice doing these shows once in a while, just chatting about stuff. So, maybe I can make this a regular Sunday night thing. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe we could. There's plenty of shows that we could do. Our hiking show, travel show.
Yeah.
A lot of things we need to cover here in the next several weeks.
Yeah, I'll certainly think about hiking trails and a little bit of biking, because I did one of those today. So a little bit more to report, but that'll be a creature of YouTube as well. But there's a lot of topics and maybe a few interviews coming up too. I could surprise you.
All right.
All right, buddy. So
okay,
this is a lot of fun.
I'll sign off and let you finish your show, and good luck to the people in Florida and then the southeastern part of the United States.
All righty. And Florida, thanks you greatly, Brad. And we're not too much more to report here. I'm sure everyone will continue to watch on Fox or CNN, whatever, or on their independent network provider on the internet. But, you know, basically you just got to remember, like I said, lives are more important than homes, windows, even roofs. Roofs are very nice to have, but you know what? You can find a place to shelter if your roof has a hole in it. So just everybody who's down there, I commend you, and just be very careful. Keep an eye on your children, your pets, the elderly, all the things that are good advice at any time. And just in the long run, remember, it seems pretty dark now, but you know, eventually everything's going to be all right. Okay. And Blog Talk Radio has once again left in the intro of the song, so let me just wait the required 16 seconds. Go. All right. Yep. It's never perfect, but it comes back to normal at some point.
Don't you worry rise up this morning and I smile with the rising sun. Whoa, and